Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 319. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Greetings from the lake.
And Phil Wilson.
Jello.
Now, Phil, I've noticed that you're probably in your home office, so you've not sent us a picture of your surroundings like Graham did.
No, I know. Graham's a beautiful view of the lake from his mobile studio there.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the wife's minivan.
Oh, is that what you're in?
No. Yeah. The mobile studio. It's not
wife's
minivan.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a on the side.
It's like a SWAT truck.
Mobile unit.
Minivate mobile.
The mobile unit.
Yeah, we do that that trick that we used to do back in the broadcasting days when you tried to give the illusion you had a fleet of vehicles. You put one number on one side and another number on the other side. So,
are you serious?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, how funny.
That's truck number 12. Oh, I guess it's truck number 16. Oh,
that's great. You had one truck.
Guessing. Yeah. Oh, what a big outfit that must be.
That's hilarious.
It's true.
That's mobile unit number 5.
Yeah. I see those guys everywhere.
Oh my God.
So listen, it's, you know, we always talk about is it going to be a big week or a quiet week or, you know, what's going to happen in the world of tech. I think today the week obviously is sort of, at least judging from what's been happening local in the tech, I think it's all about growth and it's also about job growth. So a lot of reports come in about different companies growing and moving and companies moving into the area. I think this announcement that Amazon is going to actually open a fulfillment center here in lovely Shakopee, that sounds very exciting that they're promising up to 1,000 new jobs.
I know.
Like yeah. And payment of tuition, like, did they say 95% of?
Yeah, 95%. Anything that's innovation related or what?
No, in demand fields.
In demand fields. Yes. There you go.
So I suppose if you wanted to take, blacksmithing 101, they probably wouldn't pay for that.
No, but robot maintenance will be right up there.
Precisely. So. Precisely. Yeah.
The new career for blacksmiths.
I think this guy, you know, and we always give Tim a hard time because he's always, you know, he's very much plugged into what Target's doing in the retail space. So, I mean, having Amazon right in your backyard, not so fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll get
maybe
stuff.
We'll
get stuff faster. You know, drone delivery from Shakopee to Lakeview is coming. Lakeville.
Yeah, I know. It's I just think it's going to turn into Amazon Skeet. But other than that,
Actually, what I'm thinking is how many people already have drones that'll figure out what the flight paths are and they'll go up there and just smash into them.
Intercept drones.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, steal the package away.
Did you guys see the story where some crop duster lady was on the news locally and was complaining about a drone almost hit her?
No.
And you know, then that's like a dangerous profession, crop dusting.
Yes, it is.
You do not want to be running into a drone at about 200 feet, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And getting it caught up in your propeller. So,
Tim, do you think this is going to have any big impact on retail at all? Or is it just sort of there's new business in town?
I think it'll help Target compete better, and it'll help Best Buy as well because they'll be able to see firsthand what Amazon can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think
this is a very glass half full sort of attitude. That's great, man.
Competition is good for everybody.
Okay. No, except for the people that are competing. Other than that.
That's right.
But also Jamf is growing. They're moving into a new space. Boy, that's just one butt ugly building though. Did you see that article? I don't think in the show notes. That's just one ugly building.
Well, from the outside.
Hideous from the outside. It kind of looks like a prison. So
they're refurbing it big time. And it's owned by some San Francisco real estate company now.
But they're moving on to Washington, not quite in the North Loop, but just down the street from the North Loop. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's a nice location. It's just a little sterile around there.
Yeah. But those are the old 60s and 70s buildings that were thin windows and lots of concrete.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
And then Job Dig is moving their headquarters from St. Louis Park down to Minneapolis.
Yeah, I don't really know JobDig that well. Do you guys know them well?
Oh, I've heard of them. Yeah, I mean, they're another, you know, search firm. So
they've been around several years. They They run well. It's LinkUp. They actually acquired a thing called LinkUp, and that was several years ago. And they've raised money. And what are they over the years? And what do they say? 30 full-time employees now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a job search engine, is basically what it is. And so, then they don't they like still have like print publications too?
For their advertising
jobs.
Yeah.
Yep. So lots of growth. I kind of like that.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Well, you know, we had talked about CenturyLink before and their 1 gig fiber that they're rolling out.
Yeah.
Around the country. And they're doing, doing some of it in Minneapolis. And there's a story about they're starting a cable TV service in Minneapolis. And while that seems exciting and that there's competition now for cable companies, potentially, I just think, you know, Comcast, for example, has a lot of experience in the space.
Sure.
And CenturyLink does not. So do you think that the, do you guys think that the shift to streaming means that it doesn't really matter now who's in the space as long as you've got a big pipe? Or do you think that all the relationships that you have for a cable service matter more, which will give the incumbent cable companies a leg up? Or do you think CenturyLink's got a chance here?
I think, you know, everybody's got a chance. I think the basis of every successful cable company right now is the pipe. So if you've got a big pipe, it's this is the, one of those businesses where size matters. So so I think that that's the basis of any of their future plans. But no, I think, you know, any competition is good, as Tim said. It's going to be tough to see how it grows. And it's a very small, as I recall, Tim, you were tracking the size of the area that CenturyLink is serving. And it's not really big, is it?
No, it's not.
It's like a teeny little spot.
Very, very small sliver, but it'll grow. You know, more and more people, I think we're in this transitional phase, but still a lot of people like linear television as opposed to, you know, using streaming services.
Yeah. I've never heard it referred to as linear television. That's interesting.
Yeah, it means that the
did you make that up, or is that something I just hadn't heard of before?
No, it's what it's called in the trade. It means that all these programs are being broadcast.
Yeah,
or sent down. I mean, and they may be streamed from the head end of the cable operator.
Uh huh.
In the future, but. You know, it's people just like switching channels, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to
watching what they want. I hate switching channels.
Well, I get
it. Yeah, no, I like to pick a thing and then watch it. I don't like this to randomly change channels, but a lot of people, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if my wife was violent based on how I sometimes switch channels, she'd leap up and rip my face off if we didn't settle on something.
Control of the remote is marital thing.
Yeah, do you like to surf channels, or is it just something you have to do?
Want to see what's available. But now it's just you can find just about anything. And by the way, I should mention that, and I'm related to this young man, so I'm not gonna say who it is. But he is showing me Popcorn Time, which I've not seen yet. Mm. And it is a free piece of software that lets you, it runs BitTorrent in the background, and then you can watch movies. And he wasn't using
it should be mentioned that it's highly illegal.
Yes, and it's
that's what I was just going to say.
It is copyright infringement.
It is.
Tell your son to stay away from
it. Well, trust me, it's not my son, and I'm not going to tell him either.
Yeah.
It works incredibly well. B, this young man was not using a VPN, and I slapped him upside the head and said, look, stupid, you guys know your IP address is exposed, and it takes a nanosecond for you know, the motion picture police to come after you. really, I mean, it's like a no brainer. So
it's what
so
they do, yeah.
Please don't do that. And then he said to me, yeah, but I'm using my neighbor's Wi-Fi. Cause he was on Xfinity, you know, he was using their free Xfinity Wi-Fi.
Like this guy.
I know. But then I said, yeah. Okay. But they're going to go there. The people are going to say they're innocent, and then they're going to look around to see who's close enough, and they're going to come over to your house. So just please, for God's sakes, don't do it. And then he's telling me, yeah, and there's one for porn too. They forked it. And I was like, please don't do that.
Just,
if you're
calling it now,
what?
Forking it?
Forking.
Well,
it's a forking.
Take another path with an open source project, it's called forking.
I know. I was just trying to be funny.
Oh,
it was a double entendre.
I missed that. But anyway, the point though is I mean, I fell to my knees and I begged him, your mom and dad have worked really, really hard to build up their retirement assets, and you don't want them to lose it if the motion picture industry decides to make an example of you.
That girl up in Brainerd or wherever she was.
That got nailed for the music. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, hey, so you're saving $5 a movie or whatever the rental cost is. Please don't do it. I'll give you the money. Don't do that.
Well, we've got a guest we've got to get to. So, Steve, I know you've got to get the obligatory Internet of Things story in. So I think you should do that before we connect with Sean and talk a little about Technovation MN. So tell us a little bit about Weatherbug and Honeywell.
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting because it showed up in the Business Journal, not here, but in Maryland. And, in Washington, actually. They're based in Maryland. But it's Weatherbug is a pretty interesting little company that has partnered with Honeywell to equip the Honeywell Wi-Fi thermostats. I'm sure you guys have seen that, with weather tracking technology. And so the point is that you've got sensors on your exterior air conditioner, for example, or in a lot of cases, you've got them just outside, period. There's a sensor out there. And they're going to be able to shift and adjust based on what the outside temperature is and all of that in a much more seamless way. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So you won't have to necessarily decide what the temperature is going to be on the inside. It'll also use the outside temperature. So
but the one thing that doesn't do is take into account your personal preference.
This is true. Well, you can probably do parameters with it. I don't.
But once again, more information to control other information. So
that's cool. That's right. Well, tell us about Technovation.
Well, it was a big week at Technovation MN as one of the teams from the local, regional competition here in Minneapolis traveled to San Francisco for the national, or actually the global competition. And we thought we would go ahead and bring Sean Stavseth, who is the co-founder and executive director of Technovation MN on. And Sean has spent a great deal of time in the community, in the Minneapolis community, spent a great deal of time in the marketing world at Thomson Reuters. And I met her when she had left there and was looking for the next big thing. She's now currently the director of product development at BlueSpire, but she is doing incredible things with Technovation MN, and I'm just really happy to have her on today. So, Sean, are you with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Very well. Yeah. Hi.
Fabulous. Have you ever noticed the first words out of every guest we have? Can you hear me? Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for getting up.
Beautiful morning.
Yeah. We wanted to have you tell us a little bit about big news. There was we posted at Midivate about the girls, the team from Technovation MN that did very well at the global competition in San Francisco. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So we had a team from Chaos and Manterville, which is near Rochester. They were one of our regional winners, and so they flew out to San Francisco last week, and I think they left on Sunday, and they're not going to return until next week because a lot of them have added family vacations on. But they visited companies like Twitter, Yelp, all sorts of different activities for them. And then they pitched their app in front of about 200 people. And they were one of 10 teams globally that went out there. And so they had, I want to say, 1 minute pitches. So they had to get their ideas and their concepts out within 1 minute. So that was kind of crazy. We had, when they pitched here at Appapalooza, they had about 7 minutes to pitch. So pretty exciting. They did host a kind of like a career, not a career fair, but some sort of fair where they had a diorama so they could interact with those 200 individuals and judges and whatnot. And so they won the Audience Choice Award. So that is pretty exciting. I know I was tweeting, hey, make sure you text in a certain number for to vote for them and whatnot. So they were pretty pumped. And then one of our board members, Jean Wise, was also recognized for her outstanding dedication and her leadership on the as a regional ambassador. So that was pretty excited. We were up until about 10 o'clock, well, even 10:30, 11 o'clock on Thursday night, kind of waiting for the message to come via Twitter, or they were also texting me. So that was super exciting. I could never have imagined having a team from Minnesota in our second year head to World Pitch. So.
I think it was great. It was wonderful. And, you know, we talked about Appapalooza here a lot, guys, and that was a great event. Sean did a great job there and provided us with some really solid inspiration for the girls. And it was really great. So tell us about, can you tell us about, First's app, what the app does?
Yeah, the app is actually, it's called Mail Free Time. And, of these girls, of course, live close to Rochester. And so they saw a need to, create an app for those individuals or those patients or those family members of individuals who come to Mayo. And it is an astounding number of people that come to Mayo every year. I want to say this, it's something like 200,000 people. And so, including plane loads of people, which I didn't know that actually happened from different countries. And so they created an app that you leverage during your downtime at Mayo. And you can imagine the stress that individuals are going through during that those waiting times, and they want to connect with people who've been in like situations. And so this app actually enables that. It tells you, you know, where are the closest restaurants on campus? Where are the closest restaurants off campus? If you have on a particular diet, what restaurants you know, have options for you. It talks about, you know, it has games associated with it, so you can do games during free time. It connects you with support groups. They're on site, again, on and off campus. So it's pretty, it's a, definitely a community app. And they actually did quite a bit of research on campus to you know, see if this would be of relevance to the individuals or the patients at Mayo. And so that was kind of fun to watch and see. And you know, they had everybody from really young patients that were at Mayo to, you know, quite old people, and seeing if they would, you know, use the app on their device. So pretty cool.
It's very cool. Well, you know, and I've, you know, I've talked about Technovation MN a lot with the group here. With the guys, and you know, but I obviously don't do it nearly as eloquently as you. So just give us a quick overview of what Technovation MN does and where it's going. Again, you said this was the second year for Technovation MN and having teams in competition. So tell us a little bit about the history.
Yeah. So the Global Technovation Challenge is about, I want to say 7-8 years old. And this is our second year running it here in Minnesota. So Technovation Minnesota we host several app days within Minnesota, and then we facilitate the global competition here within Minnesota. What happens is girls work on teams within their school usually, and it's kind of like a sport after school. They work for about 4 hours over 12 weeks. And their curriculum includes everything from ideation to competitive analysis of what apps are on the app stores, to business models, coding, of course, those apps, and then ultimately pitching and marketing their apps. So it is a full technology entrepreneurial curriculum, and it's very in-depth. what happens is we work with mentors from the community to support them. And those mentors can be can have a combination of skills. Of course, we would love to have someone that has some technical skills to help them with the actual coding aspects of the curriculum. But we are also looking for people who have skills in finance, who have skills in marketing, business entrepreneurs, you name it. And then what we do is we kind of pair those mentors up so that girls have a full understanding of the full curriculum. And we have talent and skills to walk them through that.
Well, it appears that based on the article that Phil wrote, that at first when he published it, I thought, oh no, he misspelled the title. It says F-U-R-S-T. The team was actually guided by a woman named Sherry First, F-U-R-S-T, who's a STEM teacher. And the mentor was a woman who's a software engineer at IBM Rochester. That's exactly kind of what you're talking about, right? I mean, they have that kind of a link up and connection, and have somebody that's can help guide them toward building something that is kind of a world-class app.
That's right. Yeah. And actually, when the girls got close to pitching at World Pitch, we actually sent their pitch video to quite a few professionals within the organization who had public speaking abilities and skills. And so they gave them feedback. And so depending on where they are in the curriculum, we match them with experts or mentors in that area. So this particular year, we had 28 teams compete at Appapalooza. We tripled in size in 1 year.
Wow.
And so that goes to say that there's definitely a demand and need for this. The entire organization is volunteer-led, and it's free to all participants. And so we welcome all girls, but a lot of our resources go towards recruiting from those low-income, diverse communities. So let me kind of walk you through we follow the school year calendar for the most part. In the fall, we do training both for the mentors, the coaches, and the girls. And then the challenge runs for 12 weeks between January and April. Then in May, we host Appapalooza, which this year we hosted at the Minneapolis Convention Center, and we had over 400 attendees. It was a pretty exciting event. Not only did the girls pitch their apps, but it really is an inspirational event, and the girls gain a lot of confidence because you see them up there and they're scared, really scared to get up there and present, and then when they've done it, there's just this release of energy. And so there were girls crying and jumping and skipping and yelling and singing and cheering and you name it. So it was a pretty cool event. I would encourage anybody to come. Those tickets are open to the public, however, they do go quite fast. And then, of course, the winners, we had four regional winners, all based upon the numbers of teams that we had this year. And those teams then went on to the semifinal round. And then, of course, the one team first class headed to San Francisco. So it's a pretty cool, pretty cool organization. And you can absolutely see the impact when you get involved with these girls. And it's extremely fulfilling in whatever type of volunteer role you play in the organization.
So if somebody wanted to be involved, so like, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they've got a daughter, or they could be a mentor, or maybe they've got other girls in their family, or they're a STEM teacher or whatever, how would they get involved? Is there on your website, is there a spot that they should go to find out what they can do and how to get involved?
Yeah, there's several ways in which you can participate in Technovation and volunteer. The very first thing you can do, of course, is you can choose to mentor a team. And like I said, this year we had 28 teams. We expect to be even greater than that. This year we did expand to Rochester, and I have it teed up to expand to the Fargo-Moorhead area, Willmar, and Duluth already. So we expect our numbers to grow fast again next year. The other thing that you can do is you can join one of our committees. We have several committees. As Phil had mentioned, he is a board member for us. And so we're looking for individuals to help support these girls along the way. And some board or some committees are busier at certain times of the year. And so we certainly try to take that into consideration based upon your personal calendar as well. You can become a board member, and you can donate to the cause. Like I said, the program is completely volunteer and it's free for the girls. And so there are some costs associated with running Technovation. We like to give the girls a device so they can test their apps out on the devices. Mm-hmm. We, of course, need to host Applepalooza and some of those things. The other thing we're looking for is hosting a field trip. We've got girls who can get out in the community, and that's pretty exciting for them because they're not just set in the schoolroom and they can get an idea of what the professional world is looking like. Now, if you have your own girls, or if you have a niece or a girl in the neighborhood I would highly encourage you to get them involved. One of the things that I do to interest girls in technology is I talk to them in a way that is that they can relate to. I talk to them about fashion. I talk to them about community and social types of things that they can relate to. One of the things that I had mentioned that I saw was in one of the press releases was, creating a dress that lights up depending on how loud the music is, right? I mean, those are things that are really cool. And then you talk about, you could make a dress and you could wear it to prom. And how cool would that be to have a dress that lights up with the music, right? It's like the good old equalizers on our BFRs back in the day. So I'm dating myself there a bit, but if you talk to them in that manner, then they start to realize how much technology is truly involved in our everyday lives. Now, all of this information is available on our website, and there is a contact us form and also a mentor registration form out there. And of course, you can always you can always get in touch with me. Again, my name is Sean Stavseth, and or get in touch with Phil too, because he's on the board as well.
It's true.
So.
Yeah,
it's true. And the one thing that Sean and I are going to be working on this year is also growing beyond Technovation, just the Technovation Challenge. She talked a little bit about field trips, but we're also looking for ways that we can kind of keep the momentum going with these girls that have had a great experience, going through Technovation and the challenge and building the app and the entrepreneurial aspects of that that go into that. But we're looking for ways that we can get them, whether it's visits to different places, technology shops, whether it's some sort of internship or auditing of classes and things like that. So we're always looking for ways to offer these things to the girls beyond Technovation Challenge and building this app. So we're always looking for that. Those of you that run businesses that are looking for, the way to really get women involved in technology, we'd love to hear from you as well. So.
Well, yeah,
there was my plug.
The numbers right now for girls in STEM and girls in computer sciences, they're completely dismal at this point. And so that's why we created Technovation. So the girls feel confident in expressing their ideas and feeling comfortable with technology so we can get more girls in there. So their ideas, their concepts can be included in, new technologies, new medicines, new cars, you name it. By the way, I saw a cool new 3D printed car yesterday. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, you 3D printed car, an entire car?
An entire car, yeah.
Cool.
It was super cool.
So. Well, let's forget about that 0% interest some of the makers are doing now. And we'll just, just go ahead send me the plans. Just email me the plans and I'll make one.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, and one other really cool stat that I like to share is 70% of alumni, Technovation alumni, take further computer science courses after Technovation when offered the opportunity. So,
nice.
We're certainly making an impact, and that's pretty exciting because these girls are seeing the opportunity that technology can present, the career opportunities, the career stability. They can start to begin to understand again how technology is embedded in everything we do and how to become makers of that technology.
Cool. Sean, thanks very much.
You are very, very welcome.
I appreciate you being on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, absolutely.
We'll chat next week and keep up the great work.
Thanks.
And congratulations to you, First Class, the teams, Technovation, Gene especially. So
yes.
And thanks to everybody. Really, congratulations to all.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody.
Take
Thank
care,
you guys. Sean.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.
That was great.
Yeah.
She is so well spoken and she has it down, the whole thing. She's got it covered.
Yeah. Well, I'll put some links in the show notes for the how to get involved and the contact form and so forth.
A lot of her and a lot of members of the board just tireless and working and makes me feel like a slacker. But
well, that goes without saying. But you know, I mean,
thank you very much. Yeah, Appreciate that.
As long as you're not doing one of those, I just went over to the medical marijuana store. As long as you don't start doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well, there are probably not any other tech stories going on anywhere in our nation.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Tim?
Very, very low week this week. Not a lot happened.
So I think we should just jump straight to the security tip of the week. Don't you?
No, we should at least.
Come on. We should at least touch on the big Bill Gates story.
Yeah, let's just touch on that real quick.
Whatever.
Well, okay. So Bill Gates, there was an article in Business Insider about how he was being interviewed and was talking about the economy and robots. And of course, he's one of the ones that are saying that we got to be careful because AI is going to come after us and the robots will kill us and all of that.
I don't think he's quite saying that.
I know he's not. I'm being facetious.
Yes, but we all know that.
Yes. So.
But and this, remember, this is a Business Insider story. So Business Insider's
always looking
for the end of the world at any given
moment. Of course. But what was interesting is I'll find another. I've got one more link that I will see if I can find and get in here that is a more objective view of his interview. But the punchline is that Bill Gates really believes that we're in a time of accelerating change. Kind of plays into Ray Kurzweil's "The Singularity is Near" about how none of us can really understand exponential change. We can understand linear change. Oh, well, somebody did this. Well, then somebody else did this. Well, then somebody else did this, rather than, well, somebody did this and then 5,000 people did this other thing. And then 25,000 people did the third thing and so on. And, that's a little harder to get our arms around, but he's a believer.
Yeah.
Well, the whole gig economy thing he touches on, and there was a BuzzFeed article that I also dropped in about the same subject. And I think we're going to see profound social change and the social contract between the worker and the company may be broken forever.
Yeah.
I mean, the companies may just want to hire contractors to get around labor costs. And you're going to have large swaths of people that will not ever work for a company, will not ever have any kind of Social Security benefits. And it's going to be a big problem in the future.
Yep. Well, we'll all be on the dole. And so all you millennials out there, make sure that you work so you can take care of all of us boomers. Do any job, please, just so you can keep going.
Any right? job.
Just any job. Or three or four any of any
even
job.
An Uber driver. Yeah.
That's right.
Uber driver.
Yeah.
Well, that was a real upper. Thanks.
Yeah. For that. Well, let's talk about something really fun, which is always positive and uplifting, which is computer security. What do you think?
Release the horses.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Yes, it's that time again for the security tip of the week.
Tell us, Steve, what's the security tip of the week?
Well, this one actually, I had read an article about this back in, I think, February or March, and I didn't pay a lot of attention because I wasn't actively using WebRTC. If you don't know what WebRTC is, it's essentially in-browser for Chrome and Firefox. It's in-browser audio and video and screen sharing.
Yes.
And so it's really wonderful and it works great. And when it first came out, I tried it in Chrome and it was awesome. And I thought, this is really, really, really good. And even the open source version of Chrome, Chromium, was also incorporating this. Well, it turns out that WebRTC is leaking data, is leaking the IP address of users.
God damn it.
Well, hey, it doesn't matter. But, you know, if you're somebody in Iran or China and you're any kind of a dissident or somebody who's thinking differently, you'd care a lot if God, you were communicating using WebRTC.
And, okay, so how do we disconnect it? How do we get out of this, Steve?
There's not any way. Just turn your internet off. Call your ISP and say, I don't want to use the internet. No, I'm
kidding. What an incredible security tip.
That's right. Now, I've got a post on my own blog, and there's a little thing in the center you can click on, and it'll test your browser to see if WebRTC is actually enabled. And then I've actually got down below how to disable it as well. And I'll put those links in the show notes so you don't have to go off to another blog. But it's easy to disable it. And I am disabled now in both Firefox and Chrome. And I've done that because I just don't trust it right now. Until they get it fixed, then, you know, if you're using a VPN, your IP address is still exposed. And the reason that matters is that tracking companies and also ad companies use that, so does Facebook and Google, but anyway, to track your activity based on your IP address, because they'll set a cookie in your browser and watch every place you go. And AdBlock Plus and Ghostery aren't even aware of it.
Okay,
so it's
well, Yeah. I just put the block on my Chrome, so WebRTC block has been added to my Chrome.
There you go. Excellent. And that's my tip.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Nicely done.
So
I do like the comment in the link that you did connect to about WebRTC. Disable WebRTC in Chrome. Bad news, you can't turn it off. Yeah. So you do have to add a... You do have to add a plugin.
Yeah, there's an extension.
An extension to make that work.
So. Yeah, and it takes like 3 seconds.
Yep. Yep. So thank you very much, Steve. I feel safer already.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, not that you're buying your drugs on Silk Road because of the medical marijuana shops that have opened here, but no, I'm kidding.
Have they opened yet? I don't know if they've opened
yet. Yeah, I think there was an article in the paper last week. Graham, you would know, right?
Oh, I was there. No, I
never, I was in line.
They were giving out free samples. I was there.
Never inhaled.
It's interesting. I know one of a guy that actually helped design and build the first, what he called it, the pot plant in Minnesota. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really cool. So, did you notice, a lot of research in that. So.
Say, by the way, do you guys notice that Tim is very quiet while we're talking about drugs and marijuana?
I think it's because he's offline, isn't it?
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We lost him.
he went to get some caffeine, maybe.
Maybe. Tim, come back. No, I think he was having issues with his...
I think he did. Yeah, I heard
his connection this morning.
Yep.
So,
sorry. So, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not... He's... Yeah. Tim is kind of like the John Entwistle of our group. He's the quiet one, so...
Yeah.
And if those of you...
Well, my Skype call dropped.
There you go.
Completely dropped.
Well, you're back.
So now I'm on my phone.
Nice. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, bummer. My internet must have just hiccuped or something because it just dropped the call and I couldn't call back.
Sorry about
Well,
that,
you
man.
Know what? I used to have it's that problem when I had an Amiga.
Yeah.
You know, and then Commodore got out of the business and they did an upgrade and, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm still running.
Is that your cool thing of the week?
I'm running BOS.
What? Okay.
Is that your cool thing of the week, Steve? Your Amiga?
No. Tim, we should have you go first in case your phone blows up. What's your cool thing?
Yeah. All right. Well, this is a new Android app from DoubleTwist, which has had a media player on, I think, both platforms, or at least Android for some time. It's called Cloud Player, and it does exactly what I've wanted for a while, which is to play music off of cloud services. It supports a Dropbox, Google Drive, and Microsoft's OneDrive, and it works as expected. And if you have an Android device and want to do this, it's free to try. And then after, I think it's 7 days, there's an in-app purchase for $4.99 to unlock it, and it works great. So I recommend it for people out there with Android handsets that want to play their their music that's stored on a some sort of a cloud service.
I use DoubleTwist a lot when I carried an Android device all the time, and that was a great player. This is even better.
I've also used Allcast, which is I believe also Android only, but it does the same kind of thing, but it never played stuff remotely very well or at all. And that's exactly what I wanted, was playing off the cloud as opposed to playing off your phone or tablet or whatever. And this does it perfectly, and I think it's very much worth $4.99.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But it's Android only at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to go back, Phil.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go next because mine's boring compared to you, Phil, and you, Graham. Mine is and I'll tell you why I'm... Is somebody backing up?
No, I think somebody's shaving their nose hairs.
the reason I'm so hot on this is there are, I don't know, 4 or 5 houses in my development that I walk by real early in the morning, and their garage door has been open all night. And this happens over and over and over again. Well, I've been so smug because we always check it before we go to bed. And one night I got up and went downstairs, and it's like 2:30 in the morning and the kitchen light's still on. So I noticed the back door is unlocked to the garage. And so I think, well, my daughter's not home yet. So I go out there and I open up the garage door, and here the third stall is open. She forgot to shut it, came in the house, went downstairs, didn't lock the door. I'm like, oh God, seriously? And so SmartThings had a blog post and said, here are the new compatible sensors. One of them is a garage door sensor. Now, I've got a sensor, a multi-sensor out there, but geez, right. It feels like I'm changing the battery every week. It's just a pain in the ass. And this Zigbee garage door tilt sensor, you can set up so that it'll announce or let you know when your garage door is open, and the battery lasts 5 years.
Really?
I'm putting one on order today.
Well, my multi-sensor, I've had that in there for like a year, and I have not had any problems.
And your garage door?
Yeah.
No, mine seems to go out really fast. Maybe there's something wrong with my sensor that now that you've just said that, but
anyway. Very weird. Very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use my SmartThings hub for two things right now. So controlling lights in my office, but also monitoring the garage door. That's it. And but the garage door thing has been incredible. Everybody in our neighborhood's like, I want one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're always wondering, did I close the garage door?
Huh.
Anyway.
All right. Cool.
Nice.
All right, Graham, your cool thing is actually very cool.
Oh yeah, Lexus.
And so is Phil's.
Yeah, in case you haven't heard, there's been a lot of buzz about the hoverboard again.
Can you tell them how much it costs, and they say, "Well, I'm gonna wait."
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, will a real hoverboard ever be invented? It's been talked about. You know, the Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox kind of hoverboard. Well, Lexus of all companies has reportedly been working on one for some time. And a Spanish website discovered a kind of a secretive skate park that Lexus has built near Barcelona. And
it's got a metal track.
Yeah, it requires a specific kind of metallic surface. But the skate park, I mean, it's got banks, jumps, stairs, and a water feature. I mean, if they spent the money to build all this, they must really have something. There's a link in the story to a previous story from the day before about the hoverboard itself. But the video that's been posted stopped short of a rider actually hopping on it. So it's like they're teasing us or something. And it's like, are we going to actually see a video soon of somebody riding this thing? It's kind of cool. So that's my thing.
That's your thing of the week.
Yeah, my
so
fangs.
So to really make it all work out really well is you have to put metal in every sidewalk everywhere you want to go.
That's right. That's right. That's yeah, right.
That's the downside.
That's the downside.
We'll figure that out next.
All right, here's my cool thing of the week. It's the see-through semi. Samsung is experimenting with this concept of the ability to see through a semi when you're behind them. It's basically monitors, Samsung monitors, obviously mounted on the back doors of the semi, and a front mounted camera on the front of the semi, obviously. And you can see the road ahead of the semi when you're behind them.
This is so cool. I can't believe it.
Then again, if the semi driver wants to play the Super Bowl on it, you could follow him around and watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or he can flip you the bird, maybe, if you're following too close. Back off, Bozo.
Well, I used to do that when I had a Volkswagen Jetta when I was in my 20s. I used to come across South Dakota and I'd draft behind a semi.
Oh, sure.
And I'd save, you know, like half lots a tank of gas going across.
But would hate you for it.
Oh, they just got so pissed at me because I stopped in a truck stop ahead of the guy, and he came in, and he just walks right up to me and goes, you know what? Get off my ass and stay off my ass for the next time I'm slamming my brakes on. And it's like, okay.
Yes, sir, Mr. Truck Driver, sir.
Well, he's like four times my size, and so. This is very cool, though. Yeah, how many times have you been stuck behind a truck, and you're like, I'm going to pass, and you start to go around. It's like, whoa, no, I'm not going now.
Yeah,
so
very we'll have to see where that goes, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It also works in night vision mode, so you can check out the video with the link that I've got there.
Right, right. What are there any new conferences, boys? I don't see anything new.
Nothing. I think no. We're pretty much status quo.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we should make an announcement that we will not be recording next week.
4th of July.
We'll be blowing our fingers off. Yeah. Yeah, and throwing sprinklers? No, not sprinklers. Sparklers.
We'll be running through the sprinkler.
Yeah, sparkler wires in front of lawnmowers to see if we can get the kids in the neighborhood, you know.
I like it.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, like I said, yeah, but, you know, between now and obviously the 11th of July, there'll be lots of things happening in the world of technology and innovation here in the lovely state of Minnesota. And we'll talk about it on
the Minnovate Gang podcast.
Yeah.
Take care.
Have a good week.